This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilma. Page number 25, inshallah, we'll begin with number 17. Which is nafyu shariki anillahi ta'ala. Nafyu? What does nafyu mean? Negation, to deny. Ash-shariki, who is sharik? A partner. Anillahi ta'ala, from Allah, the Exalted. Now, earlier we learned about some of the attributes whose isbat was being done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning they were being affirmed for Allah. So for example, aynayn, yadayn, and so on and so forth. Sam', basar, right? So now over here, what do we learn? About sifa salbiya. Remember sifa salbiya? Meaning that which is being negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in order to know anything correctly, anyone correctly, you have to know what they are and what they are not. Because then you have a correct understanding. Because anything, you know, when you're trying to gain better knowledge about it, you learn about a few things, and then what happens? You begin to assume many others, isn't it? You begin to assume many others. So for example, if someone tells you, you know, that person, they speak really well, or they're very beautiful. So then what happens? You have an image of beauty, right? So you would think their eyes would be like that, or their nose would be like that, and their height would be like this. But when you see them, they're different. Why? Because you understood beauty according to your own understanding. So in order to know correctly about anything, anyone, you have to know what they are and what they are not. Otherwise what happens? Your brain, it begins to go off track. So nafyu shariki an Allah ta'ala, negating any partner from Allah the Exalted. وَقَوْلِهِ and his statement, وَقُلْ and say, Alhamdulillah, all praise is for Allah. Who is he? الَّذِي the one who لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا, who has not taken a child. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ, and he has no partner in mulk, meaning in his dominion. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ, and he does not have any wali out of weakness. Wali, as in a friend, a protector. He does not need a wali out of weakness. وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا, and glorify him with great glorification. So in this ayah, many things are mentioned. Basically, many things are being negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, negation of any walad, any child. Then negation of any shariq. لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. And then negation of any wali, مِنَ الذُّلِ. Right? So three are being negated. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is one and there is none like Him. We learned earlier, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Right? And notice how over here it is mentioned, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have awliya? Are there certain people whom Allah calls His awliya? Like who? Like where in the Quran? Is it mentioned? Awliya of Allah. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Okay. Exactly. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. So there are certain people whom Allah called His awliya, His wali, His friends. But notice how He clarifies over here, walam yakul lahu waliyyun min adh-dhul. He does not make friends because He is needy of them, because He is weak. People, why is it that we have friends? We need friends. Otherwise, how can we be, you know, happy at a time of happiness? Right? How is it that we can spend our time? It would be so difficult. Who would advise us? Who would help us? We cannot survive on our own. We need friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He called certain people His friends, He is honoring them. It does not mean that He is in need of their friendship. He is in need of their support. He is in need of their protection. No. In fact, He is the one who is honoring them, supporting them, helping them, protecting them. The next ayah, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything that is in the heavens, everything that is in the earth is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. What does it mean by لَهُ? For him, meaning for him alone, is what? Al-mulk, the dominion. So none shares the dominion with him. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ, and he is deserving of praise. So none deserves praise the way he deserves it. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he is over all things capable. So when these qualities, when these characteristics are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he alone is worthy of them, he alone is deserving of them, then what does that mean? That he does not have any partner.
وَقَوْلِهِ, and his statement, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ.
Blessed is he who has sent the criterion, who has revealed the criterion onto his slave, meaning he has given the Qur'an to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. So that he may be to the worlds a warner. And who is the one who revealed the Qur'an? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduce himself over here? الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The one to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, meaning it belongs only to him.
وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا,
and he has not taken a child.
وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ,
and he does not have any partner in dominion.
وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ,
and he has created everything.
فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا,
and he determined it with precise determination. So this is Allah, the one, the unique, who has no child, who has no partner. He alone is the creator, and he alone is the one who decrees. The next ayah,
مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ.
Allah has not taken any child.
وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَهِ,
and there is no God with him. When there is no God with him, what does it mean? He does not have any partner. He does not have any shariq.
إِذَن, then, meaning if that was the case, that there were other gods with Allah, then what would happen?
لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ. Each God would go away, would take away that which he has created. Meaning there would be a lot of chaos in this universe. And
وَلَا عَلَىٰ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ,
and some of them would have sought to overcome others. Then there would be competition. Right? There would be competition for what? Power and more control.
سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ يَصِفُونَ.
Exalted is Allah above what they describe concerning him.
عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَتَعَالَىٰ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ.
He is the knower of the unseen and the witness, and he is exalted above all that they associate with him. So again, in this ayah, what is being done? Negation of any partner.
فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ.
So do not assert similarities to Allah.
لَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ.
Remember the word أَمْثَالِ? It's the plural of? We think أَمْثَالِ is a plural of مَثَلْ over here. مَثَلْ is what? Example. Don't give examples for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself give examples so that we can understand his oneness and his uniqueness? Doesn't he? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not give us examples of Allah's mercy, of his justice? He did, right? So amthal over here is a plural of mithl. And mithl is who? The one who is similar to, the one who is equal to, the one who resembles the other. So لا تضربوا لله الأمثال. Don't strike similarities to Allah by saying that, for instance, the hand of so and so is like the hand of Allah. Don't say that. Or don't say so and so is like Allah. No, don't say that. Because no one is like Allah. إن الله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Allah knows and you do not know. You cannot know fully about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not speak without knowledge. So where is the negation of any partner being done in this ayah?
فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ.
The next ayah, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Say, my Lord has forbidden immoralities, فَوَاحِشَ.
all fawahish, Allah has forbidden them, what is apparent of them and what is concealed. Meaning whether they are done in public or in private, Allah has forbidden that. And what is fawahish? Indecency, meaning indecent actions, which are known to be wrong. Right? And remember that they are associated with lust, meaning with sexual desire. Right? So this is why the word fahisha, it is used for zina, it is used for amal qawm lut. Right? So a person must abstain from such actions. Why? Because Allah has forbidden them. Fahisha is also in speech. Fuhish speech. Right? Also in dressing, in clothing. So this must be avoided. Why? Because Allah has forbidden that. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Whether it is apparent, public, or private. Because many times it happens that when we are amongst righteous people, then our dressing is different. And when we are with certain others, then we dress however we want. Who is it that we should be conscious of? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-isma, and the sin, meaning He has also forbidden that. Wal-baghi, and rebellion, oppression. بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, without any right. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. And He has also forbidden that you associate with Allah any partner with regards to which He has not revealed any sultan. Sultan meaning any proof, any authority. He has not given us any authority to make a partner with Him, to associate someone with Him. You understand? Like for example, if there is a person who has a certain position in a company, okay? Let's say they are a manager. The work is too much. So then what happens? Another person is appointed as a manager to share the work. By who? By the owner of the company. Why? Why did the owner do that? Because he has the authority. Why? Because he is greater than the manager. He owns the company. Who are we to associate a partner with Allah? Who are we? What authority do we have? What right do we have when we are His creation? We are under Him. We are to obey Him. Who are we? We have no right to do that. مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. So sultan, authority. And sultan also means proof, evidence. So when He has not given any evidence for shirk, don't do that. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And that you say about Allah, that which you do not know, meaning that you speak without knowledge. So in all of these verses, نَفْيُ الشَّرِيكِ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, any partner is being negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something, meaning negating shirk from Allah, this is something that we of course believe in, and this is something that we must also say. Meaning in our speech, we should also say that Allah has no partner. And when a person says this more frequently, then this is a source of relief from worries, from anxiety, from depression, from sadness. In a hadith, we learned that Asma bint Umayz, she said that the Prophet ﷺ said to me, أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكِ كَلِمَاتٍ تَقُولِينَهُنَّ عِنْدَ الْكَرْبِ أَوْ فِي الْكَرْبِ. That should I not tell you, should I not teach you about certain words that you can say at a time of distress or when you are in distress? What are those words? Allahu Allahu Rabbi La Ushriku Bihi Shay'a. Allah, Allah, my Lord, I do not associate any partner with Him. Now tell me something. How is this a source of relief, you know, from depression and sadness and worry and distress? How? Saying this statement, how does that relieve you? How does that relax you? Okay, it pleases Allah and it's a source of strength. It gives us strength. That Allah, He has no partner. He is the greatest one. He is the most powerful one. He can create ease for me. He can remove this difficulty for me. And if this difficulty is upon me, it's because He has decreed it. And because He has decreed it, there is some benefit in it. So this is a statement that the more a person reads it, the more a person says it, the more he believes in it. And the effects of this belief are amazing. So Allahu Allahu Rabbi La Ushriku Bihi Shay'a. The thing is that when we are in pain, when we are sad, when we are physically hurt or emotionally hurt, or we are struggling in any capacity, we look for solutions, isn't it? You look around yourself, you look at the people that are around you, you look at the things that are available to you, the resources that are at your, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you. But what happens? That the more we turn towards others, the more disappointed we are. You speak to someone, you know, you pour out your heart before them, and all they can say is, I'm sorry. Or they give you words of advice, but they don't help you. It's happened with me so many times that a couple of people, you know, when they come seeking advice, I can tell from their face they're not satisfied with the answer that I've given them. And honestly, I want to tell them that I'm sorry, I cannot satisfy you. I cannot give you any answer by which you will be, you know, satisfied. You have to turn to your Lord. Don't go to people seeking comfort. Yes, the words of people, they do help us, they do comfort us, but they cannot bring us the answer. The solution. They cannot give it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give it. So, Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. Likewise, this belief is a source of relief in the akhirah also. Meaning, this is what will save a person in the akhirah. Not associating any partner with Allah. In a hadith we learned, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will say to the person who will have the minimum punishment in the fire on the day of resurrection, and the person who's being punished in the least way, meaning the least amount of punishment is being given to him, Allah will ask that person, if you had things equal to whatever is on the earth, would you ransom yourself from the punishment with it? And he would say, yes. Allah will say, I asked you a much easier thing than this while you were in the backbone of Adam. Meaning before you were created, I asked something of you which was much easier. And what was that? That you do not worship others besides me. But you refused and insisted to worship others besides me. So this belief, Allah has no partner. This is Allah's right. This is what Allah asks of us. Believing in this, saying this kalima repeatedly, this is a source of happiness in this life and a source of success in the akhirah. And associating any partner with Allah, you know, whether it is done in an act of worship or in our feelings, in the state of our heart, this is something that we must seek protection from. Meaning a person must try his best to keep away from shirk, all types of shirk, major shirk, minor shirk even. Why? Because shirk is the most destructive, right? It will destroy all of a person's deeds. Once Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to him, O Abu Bakr, shirk is more hidden than the dabib al-naml, meaning the crawling of an ant. That how an ant is crawling, do you feel it? Do you sense it? Do you hear it? Do you sense it? Not at all. So many times it happens that in your house you see so many ants all of a sudden. How did that start? One ant came, right? One ant came, and then a few more came, and then a whole team of theirs came. But the first few ants that came, did you notice them? No, you didn't. Because you didn't notice them, you didn't think of them as a threat. And what happened? They're all over your house. Everywhere. So this is how shirk begins. Like the crawling of an ant. It's that hidden. It's that secret. Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu said that shirk is also like this. Meaning, that secret? We thought shirk is only, you know, worshipping an idol. Associating a partner with Allah in worship. The Prophet ﷺ said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, shirk is more hidden than the dabib of an ant. Should I not tell you something which if you say, shirk will leave you. قَلِيلُهُ وَكَثِيرُهُ. If you say that, you will be far from shirk. A little shirk and even a lot of shirk. And what is that? قُلْ اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. اللهم إني أعوذ بك. O Allah, I seek your refuge. أن أشرك بك, that I associate partners with you. وأنا أعلم, knowingly, while I know that I'm doing this shirk. وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم, and I seek your forgiveness for that which I don't know. Because sometimes it happens that we are doing something good and we see people watching us and we are happy that they're looking at us and they're praising us. And we feel like our intentions are not that sincere. We realize that, we sense that. Oh Allah, I seek your protection against that. Save me from feeling like that. And وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. Sometimes we do riya, for example, or we love others the way we should love Allah without even realizing. So أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. I seek your forgiveness for that which I don't know. Meaning the shirk that I commit without even realizing. Number 18, إِثْبَاتُ affirmation of istiwa'i. Istiwa, Allahi of Allah ala arshihi, upon his arsh. The evidence that Allah is upon his throne. Affirming the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon his throne. He is established there. He is high. And this is something that we must all believe in with conviction. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where is he? Where is he? Upon his arsh. That as soon as we think about where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, we think of what? Uluv, of height, right? That he is high above. And where? On his arsh. Like that girl who was not able to speak, she pointed to the sky. That Allah is above. He is the one who is transcendent. He is above. And where is he? On his arsh. So when we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not bring an image of any makhluq, of any creation. Rather, we should think of his greatness. That Allah is above everything, above everyone. But there are those who say Allah is everywhere and in everything. And unfortunately, we say such things also without realizing, without thinking. And this is something very serious. Allah is not everywhere. He is not in everything. And this belief that Allah is in everything, or Allah is present, physically present, everywhere, in all the places, this is something that contradicts our belief. The belief that the Quran and Sunnah teach us. This is something that clearly contradicts. In fact, this belief is not Islamic. Who believes that God is everywhere and God is in everything? Where do you find such statements? In other religions. Like, for example, there are those who say that God is in everything and everything is in God. If you just Google God is everywhere, you will find references that are made to the belief of pantheism, okay, which is this belief of basically worshipping the creation, because the creation is God. Because God is in everything and everything is in God. Or you will find references that are being made to Christianity, because they have such belief also. Because in order to prove the Trinity, this is the ta'wil that they came up with. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is where? Mustawin ala al-arsh. Isbatu istiwa'i Allahi ala arshihi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon his arsh. Now, what is above us? What is above us? The sky. Sama' ad-dunya. Okay. This sama' ad-dunya is which sky? The lowest one. What is above that? Another sky. What is above that? Another sky. What is above that? Another sky. How many skies are there? Seven. What is above the seven skies? What is above the seven skies? Jannah. How many levels of Jannah? 100 levels of Jannah. And according to Aisha radhiallahu anha, how many? As many as the number of ayat in the Quran. Not surahs, ayat. How many ayat are there? Over 6,000, right? Over 6,000 ayat in the Quran. So she said, because on the Day of Judgment, a person will be told, read and ascend. And your level will be the ayah which you stop at. I mean, the number of the ayah that you stop at. So that means that there must be as many darajat as the number of ayat. Okay, so there are levels of Jannah, right? What is the highest level of Jannah? Jannatul Firdaus. And Jannatul Firdaus, what is above that? The Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon His arsh. And He is Al-Ali, which means that there is none above Him. So you understand where we are? Where are we? All the way down, 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 down on this earth. And you know the difference between each level of Jannah, right? How much is that? Just like the earth and the sky. So imagine, these are just seven skies. The distance between the earth and the sky even is so much. Imagine the distance between the earth and the first level of Jannah. And so arsh. Istiwa illahi ala arshihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on His arsh. And remember that He is not need of, He is not in need of the arsh. The arsh is His makhluq. Now, some people have a problem with believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon His arsh. Because they say that if you say He's upon His arsh, then you are limiting Him to a place, to a location, to a direction. And when you do that, you know, you are resembling Him to the creation. The fact is that when we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on His arsh, we believe in that simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has informed us in the Quran. Not just in one place, but in many, many ayat, Allah tells us that He is where? On the arsh. So we believe in that. Now, we don't go into the details of how and so on and so forth, because that would be takif and tamthil and tashbih, and this is something that we must refrain from. So we don't think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in human terms. If a person is, you know, upon a seat, that means he is there and not anywhere else, and he is limited to that place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not like His creation. What are the evidences of this? وَقَوْلِهِ and His statement, الرَّحْمَانُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. الرَّحْمَان, the most merciful. عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, upon the throne. اسْتَوَى, He rose. He rose upon His throne. Meaning He is upon His throne now. الرَّحْمَان. And it's amazing that despite the fact that He is the highest, the greatest, what name does He mention over here? Ar-Rahman. That He is the most merciful. He is the highest, the greatest, yet He is the most merciful. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He rose upon the throne. This statement, Shaykh al-Islam says, this is fi sab'ati, in seven mawadi' places, meaning in the Qur'an. In the Qur'an, this statement is mentioned in at least seven places. Where? First of all, في سورة الأعراف قوله. In سورة الأعراف, His statement, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Indeed, your Lord is the one who created the skies and the earth in 6 days. And after creating them, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He established Himself above the throne. He created the skies and the earth. In how many days? Sittah. 6 days. The first of those days was which day? Sunday, as we learn in Hadith. And the sixth day was which one? Friday. So Friday was when the creation of the skies and the earth was created. Friday was also the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. And Friday is the day when the Muslims gather together to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Friday is the day when the day of judgment will also be established. And remember that 4 days were for the creation of the earth, and 2 days were for the creation of the sky, as it is mentioned in Surah Fussilat. And after the creation of the skies and the earth, what happened? ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then Allah اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Now, عَرْش, what does it mean? عَرْش, linguistically, refers to the sarir, or the seat of who? Of the king. The seat that the king takes for himself. And it is understood that the seat of the king, how is it compared to other seats? It is grand. It is greater. Right? It is higher. Huh? Okay. And there is no other seat like the seat of the king. Isn't it so? There's no other seat like the seat of a king. Now, obviously, the arsh of Allah, it does not have any equal. There is no other creation like the arsh. And when we learn from different statements that are found in the Quran and Sunnah, that arsh is even above Jannatul Firdaus, above all the levels of Jannah. So what does it mean? Arsh is above the entire creation. And who is on the arsh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above His creation. So arsh is also understood as a saqf al-muhit bil-makhluqat, the roof that surrounds the creation, that is above the creation. The roof that is above the creation. And who is above this arsh? Who is on this arsh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what is the material of this arsh? What is it made of? We don't know. But what we do know is that it is the largest creation that we know of. It is larger than the earth. It is larger than the sun. It is larger than the sun and the earth and the moon combined. It is larger than the Milky Way. Because the Milky Way, or the sky that we know of, what is that? Just the first Sama. Just the first Sama. And above, higher, at the top is what? The Arsh, and above that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is the largest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we know of, that we are aware of. And it is the roof of the creation that is above the creation. Like in Ayatul Kursi, what do we learn? Wasi'a kursiyyuhu samawati wal ard. The kursi, which is smaller than the Arsh, even that encompasses as-samawat wal-ard, right? Now the arsh is even greater than the kursi. And who is the owner of this arsh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. He is the Lord, the owner of the supreme, the great throne. So the Ahlul Sunnah, they believe that Allah is upon His arsh in a way that befits Him, not resembling His creatures in the manner of istiwa. So one is that we believe in the arsh, and the other is that we believe in istiwa ala al-arsh, because that is what is mentioned in all of these verses. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. So He did istiwa on the arsh in a manner that befits Him. Remember when a man asked Imam Malik about istiwa, what did he say? It is well known, we believe in it, iman in it is wajib. Its kayf is unknown. And asking about it is what? Ibida'ah. Right? It's an innovation. Meaning you don't ask such questions. How did Allah rise upon the throne? Because we did not witness that. He did not tell us about it. And we don't need to delve into that matter. However, we believe that He did istiwa in a manner that befits Him. Now what is istiwa? Istiwa means ulu and istiqrar. It means to transcend and to settle. And four meanings have been related from the Salaf. Okay? One meaning is ala. Istawa meaning ala. He elevated. Another meaning is irtafa'a. Istawa ala al-arsh meaning irtafa'a ala al-arsh, meaning he raised himself. Another meaning is sa'ada, meaning he ascended. And if you think about it, all of these meanings are, how are they? Similar, right? Elevated, raised, ascended. They basically mean the same thing. Another meaning, the fourth meaning that has been related is istaqarra, that he settled. Istawa ala al-arsh, meaning he settled upon the arsh. Now what's the evidence of that? The Quran itself. Because the word istawa, when it comes with ala, istawa ala al-arsh, then it means to rise and to settle. Like in the Quran we learn, Nuh alayhi salam was told, فَإِذَا اسْتَوَيْتَ أَنْتَ يُوْ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ, and those were with you, عَلَى الْفُلْكِ, upon the fulk, upon the ship. Notice, إِسْتَوَيْتَ, you did istawa, where? On the arsh, meaning you are settled upon the ship. You understand? Likewise, we learn in the Quran, لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَى ظُهُورِهِ. These animals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, you تَسْتَوُوا عَلَى ظُهُورِهِ. On their backs, you have istiwa, meaning you are settled. You are seated, you know, firmly. So these are the two meanings then, ulu and istiqrar, to transcend and to settle. So he rose above the throne and he settled on his throne. Now the people of ta'til, what is ta'til? To abandon the meaning. Right? To abandon the meaning. Don't forget these terms. They're very important. Because we are avoiding all of these things, right? We are avoiding ta'til, we are avoiding takif, we are avoiding tahrif, correct? So the people of ta'til, basically who reject the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who, you know, with different excuses, such as if you believe in them, then you're resembling him to the creation. The people of ta'til, they interpreted istiwa as istawla. But they say, if you say Allah rose, he went high, then you are resembling him to the creation. You're saying that he was low, and then he went high. So they rejected this attribute. They said, what istawa means is istawla. And what does istawla mean? To conquer. To take control. And this is the reason why they altered some of the ayat of the Quran, tahrif, ma'nawi, tahrif, lafzi. Right? They did that. Now, is this even correct interpretation? Does istawa mean istawla, to take control? No, it does not mean that. Because in the Quran, every time the word istawa has been used, it doesn't give the meaning of taking control of. You take control of the ship? Did Nuh alayhi salam have to do that? He is the one who made the ship. You understand? So it does not mean to conquer. It's incorrect use of the language. It contradicts the language. And why is there a need to refuse this attribute? Why not believe in it? What's the problem with it? They said that, the people of ta'til, they said that you are limiting him to a place. You are resembling him to the creation. What's the answer to that? Okay, so they said that this is why we don't believe in istiwa. Because if you say that Allah rose, then you are likening him to the creation. You understand? What's the answer to that? What's the refutation to this? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. When we believe that he rose over the throne, he is upon the throne, we don't resemble him to the creation. We don't do that. وَقَالَ فِي سُورَةِ يُونُسِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Yunus, may Allah's peace be upon Yunus alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامِ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Indeed, your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then He established Himself above the throne. وَقَالَ فِي سُورَةِ الرَّعْدِ. And in Surah Al-Ra'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اللَّهُ الَّذِي رَفَعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. It is Allah who has raised the skies بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا, without any pillars that you can see. And then He established Himself above the throne. وَقَالَ فِي سُورَةِ طَاهَا. And He has said in Surah Taha, الرَّحْمَانُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. الرَّحْمَان, the most merciful, upon the throne He rose. وَقَالَ فِي سُورَةِ الْفُرْقَانِ. And He has said in Surah Al-Furqan, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ الرَّحْمَانِ. Then He rose above the throne, the most merciful. وَقَالَ فِي سُورَةِ أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ السَّجْدَةِ. And He has said in Surah Sajda, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He rose above the throne. وَقَالَ فِي سُورَةِ الْحَدِيدِ. And He has said in Surah Al-Hadid, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He rose above the throne. So in all of these ayat, what is being mentioned again and again and again? After Allah created the skies and the earth, He istawa ala al-arsh. He established Himself above the throne. And just think about how high the throne is. He is there, yet He hears me. Just think about that. He is so high above the arsh. There is so much physical distance, if you think about it, between the arsh and where we are. Yet He hears us. Yet He sees us. Yet He answers us. Why? Because He is Ar-Rahman. He is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. He provides us. He gives us whatever we have. The next is number 19, إِثْبَاتُ عُلُوِّ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ. إِثْبَات, the affirmation of عُلُوِّ اللَّهِ, the عُلُوّ of Allah. What is عُلُوّ? To be high. Highness. The عُلُوّ of Allah عَلَى مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ, above His creation. You see the link over here? If He is above the عرش, what does it mean? That He is the highest one. There is none with Him, and there is none above Him. Remember that ulu is of two kinds. Ulu, to be high, highness, this is of two kinds. One is in that, in one's being. In one's being. Like, for example, you have six books, and you stack them, one on top of the other. You understand? You stack them one on top of the other. The one that you place on the top, is it has ulu compared to the others. Ulu in that, in being. You understand? Above the rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-ulu in His that, in His being. You understand? That He is the highest. This is why in sujood, what do we say? Subhana rabbiyal A'la. You know, when you go in the lowest position, you affirm that He is the highest. And isn't it amazing? When you go in that lowest position, that is when you're closest to Him. How do you go close to Allah? How do you find Him? When you humble yourself, when you lower yourself. This is why مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. When a person forgives the oppression that was done to him, only seeking Allah's face, seeking His face, then what happens? Allah raises him in honor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the highest one, none above Him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Hajjatul Wada', he pointed, right, with his finger and he said, Allahumma shahad. Oh Allah, You bear witness. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the girl, where is Allah? She pointed up. In the Quran, what do we learn? That inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra. We sent down the Quran. Allah sent down the Quran, meaning He is the highest and He sent down the Quran. You understand? Likewise, yudabbiru al-amra min as-sama'i ila al-ard. Allah's commands, they come down from the sky to the earth. The angels, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. They fear their Lord who is above them. Once, you know, a man, he objected at the decision of the Prophet ﷺ, the distribution that he made. And he basically said that you should fear Allah. You're not being fair. The Prophet ﷺ said, will you not trust Me while I am the trusted one of He who is above the heavens? He who is above the heavens. So the Prophet ﷺ clarified this to us, that Allah is the highest in His that. And how did He clarify this to us? Through His words? Through His actions? Right? Pointing upwards? Allahumma shahad. And also through His approvals. When that girl, she pointed up, and the Prophet ﷺ said, leave her, for she is a believer. Meaning He approved of her action, you know, of her saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above. So this is one kind of ulu. The other kind of ulu is in sifat, in attributes, meaning in the ma'nawi sense. So His attributes are the highest. You understand? His attributes are the highest. So for example, His mercy. Is it like the mercy of the creation? No, not at all. His knowledge, His knowledge, it's of highest level. No one can exceed the level of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. No one can exceed the level of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. You understand? Now, when it comes to uluw in sifat, ma'nawi sense, then this is something that everyone believes in. God is the greatest. You understand? Everyone believes in this. Ahlul Sunnah believe in this. Ahlul Bid'ah also believe in this. But when it comes to uluw of that, this is where the difference comes in. Okay? Because there are people who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ulu in that. Because if you do that, again, you are limiting Him to a place. Hence, you are resembling Him to the creation. But what's the answer to that? No. He is above everything, everyone. And laysa kamithlihi shay. Wa qawlihi, and His statement. Ya Isa, O Isa, inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Isa alayhi salam, O Isa, indeed I will take you. وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ. I will raise you to myself. Meaning, physically, you will be taken up from this earth. You will be lifted up from this earth. Which is why, towards the end of this, the time on earth, when Isa alayhi salam will return, how will he come? With the angels, he will descend. So, he was taken up from the earth. رَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ. So, what does that mean? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Above. بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Rather, Allah raised him to himself. Who? Isa alayhi salam. This does not mean that Allah raised his status. Obviously, the status of Isa alayhi salam was higher compared to the rest of the people because he was a prophet of his time. What it means by رَافِعُكَ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, what it means is raising of the body, meaning physically raise you. إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ, to Him ascends. To Him it goes up. What goes up to Him? الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, the good words. Good words go up to Him. Meaning when a person says good words, his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his recitation of the Qur'an, his tasbih, tahleel, tahmeed, these words, where do they go? إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ. They go up to Him. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. And good deeds raise those words. Meaning good words must be accompanied by good actions. And this is an evidence that words alone are not sufficient. Words must be accompanied by good actions. So again, when good deeds, good words are ascending, they're going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? Where is He? Everywhere? No, where is He? Above. The next ayah, Ya Hamanu, O Haman. Who said this? Fir'aun said this. Fir'aun said, Ya Haman, O Haman, Ubunuli sarhan, construct for me a sarh, a tower. A tower? A tall tower, لعلي أبلغ الأسباب, so that I might reach the ways. Which ways? أسباب السماوات, the ways into the skies, so that I can go up. فأطلع إلى إله موسى, so that I may look at the deity of Musa. وإني لأظنه كاذبا, and I think that he is a liar. Meaning, I think that Musa is lying, that there is a God. Now, what do we understand over here? Fir'aun, from the words that Musa alayhi salam conveyed to him, the message that Musa alayhi salam conveyed to Fir'aun, what did Fir'aun understand about the God of Musa? About Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is He? Above. Even Fir'aun got this point. But then he said, وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ كَاذِبًا. I think that Musa is lying, that there is a God up there, there is a God besides me. But why is this ayah being taken as evidence? Because the message of Musa alayhi salam, what did that tell the people? That where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Above. The next ayah, أَأَمِنْتُمْ, do you feel secure? مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, from the one who is in the heaven, in the sky. أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ, that he can cause the earth to swallow you and suddenly it would sway? Meaning, do you feel secure from his punishment? He can cause the earth to shake. He can cause the earth to swallow you. أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. Or do you feel secure that he who holds authority in the heaven would not send against you a storm of stones? Then you would know how severe was my warning. So how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in these two ayat? Man fi sama, the one who is in as-sama. Now, we learned that sab'a samawat, above them are jannat, and above them is ma', above that is arsh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above that. And in this ayah, man fi sama is mentioned. Notice, samawat is not mentioned. Sama, singular form is used. And remember that majority of the times when the singular form is used, it's giving us the meaning of what is above us. Because kullu ma alaka fahuwa sama. Remember this. The word sama is not just used for the sky. It's used for what is above. This is why anzala minas sama'i ma'a. He has sent down water from the sky. You know that the sky does not give us water. It's the clouds that bring water. But where are those clouds? Above us. You understand? So man fi sama, again, what does it teach us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That He is above. He is the highest. And this is something that should be a part of our belief. We must believe in the exalted nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in His that, He is above. In His sifat also, He is above. He is above all in His existence. He is above all in His attributes. And we must realize from this the greatness of His power, of His sovereignty, of His control upon His creation. He is the highest. And when He is the highest, then what does it mean? What should we feel and how should we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What effect should this belief have on us? Okay, humility and think about it. When someone is above, are you hidden from them? You're not hidden from them. We can't hide from Allah. He is above us. Always. His arsh muheet bil khalq. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the arsh. And there is none who is with Him. Because if He was not the highest and someone was with Him or above Him, then how would He be ilah? And when He is above all of us, then it means that He has full knowledge of us and full control over us. Therefore, we must fear Him also. The Prophet ﷺ would say in Witr, the dua that he used to say and he taught. What was the dua? Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt wa afini fi man afayt wa tawallani fi man tawallayt wa barik li fi ma a'tayt wa qini sharra ma qadayt innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk wa innahu la yadhillu man walayt wa la ya'izzu man adayt tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayta ta'alayta, meaning you are above, you are the highest. The Prophet ﷺ, when he would go to bed at night, he would say, Bismillahi wada'tu jambi. In the name of Allah, I have laid down my side. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. O Allah, forgive me my sin. Wa akhsi' shaytani, and drive away my devil. Wa fukka rihani, and free me from my responsibility. Wa ja'alni fi nadiyyil a'la, and place me in the highest assembly. Meaning, I want the highest company. Allahumma rafiqul a'la. That's the words that he said before his death. Number 20, isbatu, affirmation of ma'iyyatillahi, the ma'iyyah of Allah, li khalqihi, for his creation. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with his creation. Now this is interesting. First we learn that he is upon the arsh. Then we know that he is the highest. So there is none with him, none above him. And now we learn that he is with his creation. Yes, he is upon his throne. And from there, he is with his creation. Ma'iyah is from ma'a. And what does ma'a mean? To be with, to accompany. So he is with his creation. And this is mentioned right after his ulu. So a person does not think that just because he is on the arsh, he is above his creation, he is too far. You understand? Don't think like this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the arsh, so he's too far from me. I'm too far from him. No. He is on the arsh, above the creation, yet he is with his creation. Because he is God and there is none like him. وَقَوْلِهِ and his statement, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he rose above the throne. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows what goes into the earth. وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. And what comes out of the earth. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And what comes down from the sky. وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. And what goes up into the sky. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. And he is with you. أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Wherever you are. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah is watching everything that you do. So what is the evidence in this ayah? Of Allah's ma'iyah with his khalq. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Wherever you are not alone. Allah is with you. Wherever. أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. What does it mean by أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ? Which places? Which places? Any place. Any place. Whether you are with people or you are all by yourself. He is with you. The next ayah, مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. There is no najwa, no private conversation of 3 people, but that he is the 4th of them. إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. 3 people are having a private conversation. Whispering, so that no one can hear. And whispering even without any sound, so that no one can have any idea that that private conversation is taking place. Because sometimes it happens, right? That you're in a room and you're talking to somebody and you whisper and you don't even make any sound, just mumble the words, so that the person who is outside has no clue. Or you don't even say any words, you just gesture with the hands and you communicate with your, you know, facial expressions. So no 3 people are doing this except that Allah is with them. وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. And there is no private conversation of 5 people except that he is the 6th of them. وَلَا أَدْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرٍ. And no number that is less than that or more than that. Meaning, 2 people even having a private conversation, or 1 person having a private conversation with himself, not even expressing his feelings, or more than that, more than 7, 8 people, 10 people, 50 people, a big conspiracy that is being done by, even at a government level, in which many people are involved, but it's top secret, so that no one lets out that information. Allah is with them. Illa huwa ma'hum. Except that he is with them. أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. Wherever they are. Whether this private conversation is taking place, you know, in a house, in a room, in a car. Wherever. Allah knows exactly what they're talking about. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then Allah will inform them on the Day of Judgment about what they have done. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Indeed, Allah is knowing, he is aware of everything. Now, I see some confusion on the faces of some people that we just learned that Allah is not everywhere. And here we learn that Allah is with us, meaning in a, you know, in any private conversation taking place anywhere, even if a person is alone, Allah is with him. What does it mean by this? Is this a contradiction? There is a difference between being with someone, okay, and being in someone or something. The incorrect aqidah is to believe that Allah is in some place. Like for example, a person says, Allah is with me in this room, in this place, in this room. You understand? Or saying that Allah is in my heart. Yes, remembrance of Allah, love for Allah is in your heart, but don't say Allah is in my heart. No, it's not shirk, it's incorrect to say that. Okay? So the incorrect belief is to believe that Allah is in this, in that, whether it's a place or an object or a person. What did I say? One person say it. What did I say? We should not say that Allah is in something, someone, some place. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has told us that He is on His arsh, that He descends to the lower sky every night, last third of the night. But we can't say Allah is in this room or in that house. No, we don't say such things because He has not informed us. Okay? Now, this is where we need to understand what exactly ma'iyah is. Ma'iyah, to be with, to accompany. Remember, there are two kinds of ma'iyah. One ma'iyah is ma'iyah 'amma, general ma'iyah. That Allah is with everyone. What does that mean? That whether believer, non-believer, righteous, sinful, Allah is with them, meaning He completely encompasses His creation. He has full knowledge of what they are doing. He has full power over them. He hears exactly what they're saying. He is watching their actions. You understand? So in these two verses that we have learned so far, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ He is with you wherever you are. What does it mean? He is with you, meaning He has fully encompassed you. He has fully encompassed you wherever you are. You can never escape Him. You can never hide from Him. Like that story is, mentioned of father and son, that they went into the garden of someone and the father told the son, I'm going to go and pick the fruit of the tree and just keep an eye out. If anybody's looking, just warn me. So the father started and the son said, he's looking. So the father quickly got down, who's looking? Who's coming? There's nobody here. Allah is looking. Allah is looking. So He is with you, meaning regardless of where you are, in a mountain or under the water, in a house or out on the street, in private or in public, wherever you are, Allah is with you, meaning He has complete ihata of you. He has fully encompassed you. He watches you, He sees you, He hears you, He knows you. The second type of ma'iyah is ma'iyah khasa, ma'iyah that is specific, meaning He is with certain people. He is with certain people, meaning He helps them, He assists them. And this is clarified in the following ayat. وَقَوْلِهِ and his statement, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. The Prophet ﷺ said this, right? In the cave, he said this to Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, don't worry, Allah is with us. Allah is with us. What does it mean? His help, He's going to help us. He's watching us, but He's not just watching us, He will also help us. He's on our side. The next ayah, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. This was said to who? Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. I am with both of you. I hear and I see you. Meaning my help, my assistance is with you. So Allah is with them. This is ma'iyah khasa. That He doesn't just have ihata of them. He has not just encompassed them in His knowledge, in His seeing, in His hearing. But He is also assisting them. He is also helping them. Certain individuals, certain people. And the two ayat that are mentioned over here, which people? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, inna allaha ma'ana. We, us, includes Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu also. Right? And then Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam. But also remember that it's not just certain individuals. It's also, people who possess certain attributes or who exhibit certain qualities in certain situations. You understand that in a situation when a person will exhibit certain behavior, then Allah will be with him. Meaning then Allah will certainly help him. What qualities? What actions? Like for example, sabr, ihsan, and these are the following ayat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who have taqwa and those who do ihsan. So, when a person has taqwa, he speaks, you know, with taqwa, he acts with taqwa, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shows ihsan in a particular situation, then whose help, whose assistance is with him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasbiru inna Allaha ma'a as-sabirin. Be patient, indeed Allah is with those who are patient. So far, which three qualities that we learn about? Taqwa, ihsan, and sabr. And the next ayah emphasizes sabr again. Kam min fi'atin qalilatin ghalabat fi'atan kathiratan bi'idhnillah. How many group that were few in number, what did they do? They overcome a group that was much larger than them. Meaning they were victorious over the enemy that was much larger than them. How? Bi'idhnillah, with the permission of Allah. Wallahu ma'al sabirin. And Allah is with those who are patient. Meaning He gives them assistance and He gives them victory. Why? Because of what? Their sabr. So victory comes not with the greatness of your number, but it comes with whose help? Allah's help. So you see two kinds of ma'iyya, amma and khassa. So basically ma'iyya has darajat. It is of levels. It is of levels. Amma, general. Huwa ma'akum, He is with you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, He has fully encompassed you. Whether you're believer or non-believer, you're obeying Him or you're disobeying Him. You're doing what is right or you're doing what is wrong. You're doing something productive or you're wasting your time. You understand? He is with you. This is ma'iyya amma. You can never hide from Him. Can we hide from people? Easily. Can we go far from them? Of course. Can we shut the door on them? Easily. You stay out. Don't look at me. Turn away. We can always do that, right? But can a person ever hide from Allah? No. This is ma'iyya amma. Then the next daraja is of khassa. Okay, but khassa because of some wasf, because of some attribute, because of some quality, because of some action. Meaning when a person observes that, when a person exhibits that, when a person displays that, like sabr, taqwa, iman, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is with the believers. إِحْسَان, صَبْر. Then Allah will be with him. Meaning, He will help him, assist him. Then there is a third level, which is خَاصَة, more specific. Why? Because of شخص, because of who that person is. Like Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Musa عليه السلام, like Harun عليه السلام. Now, there is one question over here. That when we say Allah is with His creation, meaning He knows them, He is watching them, He is helping them, then isn't this a kind of ta'wil? You know, like we learned that we have to take the attributes on their surface, as they are. So, is ma'iyya a reality or is it a figurative expression, you know, for Allah's complete knowledge, His hearing, His seeing, and so on and so forth. Is it haqiqi or is it a kinaya? But the meanings that I gave you right now, what are they? They kind of hint to us that, okay, Allah is with you, meaning He's watching you, He knows about you, He sees you, He hears you. Now, majority of the scholars, they said it is kinaya. It is a reference to His state of knowledge, help, assistance, so on and so forth. But some other scholars, and that includes Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, they were of the opinion that it is ma'iyya haqiqiyya. It is a reality in the real sense. Meaning, when you believe that Allah is with you, don't just believe, yeah, He's watching me. Yeah, He's listening to me. No, this is ma'iyyah haqiqiyyah. However, His ma'iyyah is not like the ma'iyyah of people. When people are with you, what does it mean? They're physically present with you. If you're not physically present with them, you can't be with them. You can't see them. You can't hear them. You cannot watch them. You cannot protect them. Right? Like for example, let's say there's a bodyguard. The person has hired him. Now, what good is that bodyguard? Only if that bodyguard is with him in that same place where he's at. Otherwise, the bodyguard cannot protect him. If he's in another building, if he's in another house, in another street, he can't help him. He cannot protect him. You understand? This is ma'iyyah of people. Why? Because we are weak when we are limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His ma'iyyah is not like that of the creation. He is high over His throne, yet He is with us. And this should not be difficult for us to understand. You know, we are limited, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laysa kamithlihi shay, He is above His throne, but He is with His creation. Now, take the example of the moon. You know, the Arabs, they would say, al-qamaru ma'ana wa nahnu nusiru. Ash-shamsu ma'ana wa nahnu nusiru. A person, where is the moon? In the sky. But wherever you go in the night time, wherever you drive, it's with you. You look up to the sky, it's with you. Isn't it? During the day, you look up to the sky, it's with you. Wherever you go. It doesn't leave you. It doesn't go away. It's with you. Now, when this is possible for the makhluq, why not for the khaliq? We don't resemble Allah with the creation. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ, when he would travel, he would say, Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar wal khalifatu fil ahl. Oh Allah, you are the companion in this journey, and at the same time, you are khalifa fil ahl. Meaning you'll take care of my family. Is this possible for a human being? That they accompany you on a journey at the same time they look after your family? No, either they can be with you or they can be at your home. So you see, the Prophet ﷺ also joined between him being, you know, his companion and at the same time being khalifa over the family. This is not possible for the people. Think about it. How many people are making dua at the same time? How many? So many. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He listens to everybody. You know, sometimes I wonder when, you know, you're standing in a congregation, in a jama'ah, everybody is reading Surah Al-Fatiha. Right? And to each, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamidani abdi, Athna alayya abdi, Majjadani abdi, Wali abdi ma sa'al. Think about it. Thousands and thousands of people praying together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to each one of them because He is Allah. And there is none like Him. So when we believe in this, that Allah is with us, Allah is with me wherever I am, then realize that yes, He is above the arsh, but He is not far. He is not at all far. Now remember that in the Arabic language, ma'iyyah, it gives us three meanings. And this is also necessary for us to understand in order to clarify this understanding. One meaning is ikhtilat, to be mixed up, mixing. So for example, if you say, give me milk ma'a water, what does that mean? Mix the milk with the water. Right? Ma'a means ikhtilat, mix it. Okay? It means mixing, merging. You understand? Another meaning is musahaba fil makan, to be in the same place, being together in a place, sharing a place. So for example, a person says, I saw so-and-so with so-and-so. They were walking together. What does it mean? They were sharing their space. They were together in one place. Another meaning is neither ikhtilat nor musahaba fil makan. Ma'a meaning not mixing, not merging, and not even being in the same place. Like for example, you say about a couple, a husband and wife, they're still together. one is in US and the other is in Canada, for example. Huh? The husband is in Canada and the wife is in US. And you said they're still together. What does it mean? They're together in the same place? They are mixed, merged? No. What does it mean? That relationship is still there. So you understand. Ma'a gives different meanings depending on the context. So when ma'a is used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ, don't think about it as merging and mixing and being in the same physical space. No. What does it mean? That His help, His assistance, He is watching, He is hearing, He knows. Clear? Is this clear now? The relationship over here between Ma'a and Ulu and His being above His throne? Any question? Okay. Now, when we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us no matter where we are and no matter who we are, no matter who we are, because sometimes we think that Allah is only, you know, with people who are very, very righteous and very, very pious. So He listens to their prayers and He only gives importance to them. And me, who am I? I'm nothing. His help is not with me. His support is not with me. He doesn't listen to my prayers. He doesn't care about me. Should we think like this ever? No. He is with everybody, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. All we need to do is reach out to Him. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? I am as my servant thinks I am. If you think positively about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then yes, you will find Him like that. You reach out to Him, you take one step towards Him, and Allah will take 10 steps towards you. He will draw even more close to you. So instantly this belief, it eliminates any distance, you know, that a person can feel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there a distance has come because of our actions, because of our negligence, can we eliminate that distance quickly? How? By going back to Him, reaching out to Him, asking Him. Just think about it. He is above the arsh and you are down here. You call Him and He hears. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am near. Just think about it. How much He cares about His creation. He cares about us more than we care about ourselves. He loves us more than we could love ourselves. So He is with His servant. And this provides us a sense of what feeling? A consolation and a sense of security. Right? That I am never alone. Safety. Then can you feel lonely? No. Can you feel loved? Yes. Can you feel like someone cares about you? Yes. Yes, it increases our reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gives us hope and courage. That He owns us. Anas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he would go out to battle on any ghazwa, he would say something. Do you know what he would say? Just think about it. Someone is going for battle. They know that they might not come back. And remember, every battle that the Prophet ﷺ participated in, how was it? The enemy was always more in number, stronger, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, he would say, Allahumma anta aududi wa nasiri, bika ahulu, wa bika asulu, wa bika uqatilu. O Allah, You are my aider, meaning You will aid me. You are my helper. You will help me. By You I move. By You I attack. And by You I fight. I know that You are with me. You will help me. You will support me. I cannot move. I cannot attack. I cannot fight except by Your permission and Your help. Allahumma anta abudi wa nasiri, bika ahulu, wa bika asulu, wa bika uqatil. You know that you feel like you're so desperately in need of help. Right? And whenever you know you have to do something and you feel like you are alone in that, no one can help you. And there's so many situations like this, right? When you have to take a test, you have to take an exam. You can't use any book. No teacher can help you. No trainer can be there for you and assist you. No, you have to face that challenge on your own, on yourself. But even at that time, the servant of Allah does not feel alone. Do you ever feel like you're alone in certain situations? Honestly, tell me. You feel like that, right? Your mom cannot come with you. Your husband cannot be there for you. You're on your own. Reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will not be alone. And it eliminates any fear of people, right? And it gives you courage no matter how daunting the task is, how difficult it may seem. And at the same time, it also instills fear. Allah is with me. I better do this right. I better do it right. No matter how alone I am, I'm not alone. He is watching me. Very true. That it's a blessing of Allah that He puts us in, you know, these situations where we feel alone, or we are alone in the sense that no person can assist us, no person is willing to help us, no person is available, because in that situation you reach out to Allah and then you experience that ma'iyah that you will not experience otherwise, you will not even think about otherwise. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So teaching our children also that if mom is not there, if dad is not there, Allah is with you. He is watching you. He will protect you. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِن رُوحِ That does not mean that Allah put His ruh. No. His ruh as in the ruh that He owns, that He created. So this belief is actually incorrect to say that he is in me. No, we don't say He is in me. Because the person who said this, أَنَا الْحَقِّ I am the haqq, meaning Allah is with me, He has merged into me, so I am God. This was a completely false claim. Mind does not accept this. Okay? We say Allah is with me, yani He is watching me, He is helping me, He is above the throne, yet He cares about me. Many times it happens that we experience this loneliness. And when a person, the next is about Allah's kalam, and kalam, the Quran is Allah's kalam, right? So when a person, you know, believes in this, that Allah is with me, and he reaches out to Allah with the words of Allah, recites the Qur'an, remembers Allah, then really that loneliness will go away. Think about Ibn Taymiyyah in prison for 2 years, reciting the Qur'an 80 times, no loneliness. No loneliness is felt. And really, you will experience this yourself as well. Sometimes it happens that you are alone at home. You're alone at home. You don't speak to anybody all day, no phone call even. But because you spent your time reciting the Qur'an and praying salah, and you also remembered Allah in the morning and in the evening, and then you were doing your work through the day, you realize, yeah, I did not speak to anybody. But you didn't experience that loneliness. You did not. Why? Because you remembered Allah. You're driving on your own, a long journey, and you're feeling nervous. Nobody's in the passenger seat with me to guide me. Well, you remember Allah constantly. Reach out to Him, talk to Him, and you will not feel alone. You know, so many times it happens that people, they complain that there's nobody in the house. I don't have anybody to talk to. I need to talk to somebody. The silence, you know, it hurts my head. Depresses me. Then what does it mean? We need to talk to Allah more. That when you reach out to Allah in the most desperate situations, and you feel His ma'iyah, then the help comes from where you cannot even imagine. That for us especially, it should not be difficult to understand how Allah is with us in our private conversations, because now private conversations don't need to take place in the same time zone or in the same place. No, you can do it online with somebody. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of that najwa, meaning He knows exactly what is going on. So this should also instill consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're never alone. Haya, shyness. Because sometimes we fix our clothing or we fix our speech because of people. But this needs to be done out of haya of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.